time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right, it's the Vintage Truth Podcast. I'm Jeff Kinley, and thank you so much for joining me today and listening to this broadcast. You know, I read a book one time which said, it began this way, it says, if you're any kind of Christian at all, you want to be a better Christian. You know, that's part of the, you know, kind of the gas and the brake of the Christian life is that on the one hand, you have this intense desire to know more, to be more, to follow Jesus more closely, to fall more in love with him. And on the flip side of that, you know, your flesh is lazy. My flesh is lazy where, you know, we resist God. Sometimes we get into these lulls and we don't grow and we don't want to grow. And, you know, it's part of the groaning, you know, that we have in our hearts because, you know, the deepest part of who we are, we want to be everything we can be for him. And we want to do it now because we realize, especially as you get older, that, you know, time is not your friend. As those great eminent theologians, the Rolling Stones once said, time is not on our side. And so we realize that, and we really want to make sure that we are prepared for the Lord's return and that we are walking with him as best we can every single day, trusting and following the Lord. And that's why I do this podcast, and that's why I write books, and that's why I speak. It is for your benefit so that you can be that person that you really want to be in Christ. And that's why I unapologetically tell you about opportunities that you can have to experience that kind of growth. And one of them is coming up in the fall. And it's the Prophecy at Sea cruise that we're taking on September the 6th through the 11th down to the Caribbean. It's the most affordable cruise you will ever find. And we're going to be on the Enchantment of the Seas, I believe is the name of the boat. And it's going to be myself, Dr. Donald Reagan, Billy Crone, Don Perkins, Tom Hughes. I mean, these are heavyweight guys. These are amazing servants of the Lord. We're just going to spend a week talking about Bible prophecy and the end times and just what the scripture says. And there's going to be so many interesting topics, question and answer periods, prizes given away, opportunities to meet all of the authors and speakers and have dinner with them, breakfast, lunch, whatever. And just get to know us personally and to spend time and to have some hangout time. So anyway, go to prophecyatsea.com and you can find out answers to all your questions about this incredible cruise. Make sure that you check it out soon. And then also my newest book, Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy. And it's just a great tool for you to give to someone who's just maybe just beginning to dip their toe into the world of what God's prophetic word says about the end times and how to understand biblical discernment, how to interpret prophecy for yourself, how to understand the difference between what's fake news out there in the Christian world and what's the truth. I mean, how do you do that? You know, how do you spot that counterfeit truth? And so many different things. I talk about Scripture's unfulfilled prophecies, things that have not yet taken place yet. I talk about the major views of prophecy, clearing the air, kind of, you know, blowing the fog away so that you can understand what's really going on in the discussion about prophecy today. I talk about how prophecy is an incredible apologetic to help convince unbelievers of the truth of Scripture and the sure return of Jesus Christ. Many, many, many different things to talk about in there for you. All right, so today we're going to talk about this topic, and if we finish, then we finish. If we don't, we'll just continue on with the next podcast. But I want to talk about this question. You know, a lot of times people in our society today, when they want to appeal to the ultimate example of someone who was sensitive, tolerant, inclusive, you know, they pull out the trump card, ironically enough, the trump card of Jesus Christ. And they always cite how Jesus loved to accept everyone, and he hung out with sinners, and he just didn't care who you were. You just come as you are. And he was just so inclusive and so he wasn't divisive. He was just, you know, everybody had a place at the table with Jesus. And you know, Christ was just guy that just kind of, he just kind of hung out with people. And that's what he did, you know, and he didn't care who you were. Okay, here's the deal. So we're going to answer this question. Was Jesus Christ really tolerant? Was he really inclusive? And if he was, who did he include? That's a very important question. Because it's one thing just to say, okay, Jesus was tolerant. Jesus was inclusive. He was the ultimate example of that. Therefore, we should accept all people, all behavior, like anyone else, right? We should do that because Jesus did it, right? The question is, did Jesus really do that? So in order to know that, there's only one place to go. You can't just say, well, let's make up a magical Jesus and pretend he did these things or didn't do these things and love these people and whatever. What does the Bible say? Okay? So we need to examine what the Bible really says about Jesus' tolerance and his inclusivity. Okay? So to do that, we have to look at the scripture and look at some examples where Christ exhibited either a tolerance or perhaps even intolerance. Now, we see one example is in Matthew chapter 15, and beginning in verse 21, there was a Canaanite woman, or a Syrophoenician woman, I think one translation says, that comes to Jesus. And she even comes to him and says, have mercy on me. I mean, she's not even coming saying I'm a horrible person or whatever. She comes to him and says, Lord, have mercy on me. And the problem was, you say, well, you know, why would he include a woman like that? Well, you know, she's not a Jew. She's a woman. And there's two strikes against her right there. And she's this Canaanite woman, but also she has a daughter that is cruelly demon-possessed, okay? So there are lots of reasons there why you know, people say, well, gosh, that's exactly the kind of person that Jesus came for, kind of thing. How does Jesus respond to her? Does he immediately just welcome her with open arms and is tolerant and inclusive? Well, just join my band of disciples. No. Verse 23 says, but he did not answer her a word. A word. And then she kept on asking him, and then a second time, this tolerant, inclusive, nice, kind, arms open wide Jesus answers her and says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you have any idea how religiously and racially bigoted that sounds? You're not a Jew, woman. I can't accept you. I'm not here for you. That's what he's saying there. Wow. That you don't hear that story quoted when people start talking about Jesus' tolerance. But guess what? This woman, this Gentile woman, this non-Jew, she doesn't give up. And she goes on to bow down before him saying, Lord, help me. And as if, you know, Jesus, by that time, he's like, okay, you got to give in, man. You can't be this stern, you know, walled off type savior. You got a break here, Jesus, right? What does he say to her? Verse 26. And he saves his most stinging insult for the last. He says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Whoa. You see, a dog back then was not that little pet that you hold in your lap or that creature that, you know, millions of millennials post on Instagram as if they were their own children. You know, that's not what dogs were in those days. No, dogs were scavengers. They were mongrels. They ate the scraps that were thrown off down at the dump, and they were ravenous. And so a dog was the worst thing that you could be called. And he calls her basically, you're a part of that dog tribe over here. You're not a part of the children here. You're not part of the family. Tolerant Jesus, inclusive Jesus. You know, he didn't just say, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter who you are. Just come on and join me. No. He says you can't do it. But here's the great thing. She answers Jesus and says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And that is when Jesus Christ acknowledged. He knew this all along. But he was testing her to see how serious she was about coming to him. Jesus wanted to know what was in her heart. He wanted her to demonstrate to everyone, mostly to herself, how desperate she was for Jesus and what he could do for her. And that's when he responded. Only then he said, "Oh woman, your faith is great. Be it done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. What about Jesus on the mountainside in John chapter 6, when he's speaking to the crowds? He's just fed them, everybody, you know, up to 20,000 people he fed of these fish and loaves. And then he starts talking about truth, about why he's really there. And he starts telling them, I'm paraphrasing here, that unless you are completely, totally, unreservedly committed to me, you cannot be my disciple. And they all walked away. Jesus would have made a horrible Baptist preacher because he did not, in essence, get as many people as he could to come forward down the aisle. He in essence, told them a truth that pushed them away because he wanted to see who was going to be committed. That tolerant Jesus. What about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10? You remember that story? This guy, he's rich, he's young, he's a ruler. So we call him the rich young ruler. And he comes to Jesus in Mark chapter 10, and he has a question for the Lord. And the question that he asked him in Mark 10, and this is beginning in verse 17, it says that he ran up to him and knelt before Jesus. Okay, now this is the kind of guy you want on your support team. Okay, I run a nonprofit ministry, and fortunately for me, the wealthy have not really been the ones who have supported my ministry over the years as much as it's been just ordinary people, right? And a lot of people in ministry really want to go after the big bucks, the deep pockets, and you know. Granted, if the Lord leads people to do that, you go, hey, praise the Lord. But that's the strategy. And I've known men to do that. They only target the wealthy. Watch this. Jesus had a huge fish on the hook here. And this guy single-handedly, presumably, could have underwritten the entire ministry of Jesus. And this guy is kneeling before him. So he's got him exactly where he wants him. And this guy asked Jesus, he says, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Man, what a great opportunity. Jesus, just be inclusive. Now, it doesn't matter what this man is. It doesn't matter what he's done. It doesn't matter, you know, how pure he really is in his heart. He's got a great bank account. So just let him in. Be inclusive. Be tolerant. Be open, Jesus. And Jesus said to him, instead of just answering his question and just saying, well, just come follow me and you'll be fine. Jesus, because he's God, looks into this guy's heart and he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And this guy makes the claim, I've kept all these from my youth. The Bible says Jesus, looking at him, felt a love for him. Now, what would this love lead Jesus to do? Would the love say, you know what? You're exactly the kind of guy I'm looking for. You're the kind of Jew that I've been searching for. These fishermen here, they've broken all those commandments, but apparently you haven't. So I'm going to let you in because you're the poster child for Judaism, and I want you on my team. Did he say that? Is that what love means here? It says he felt love for him. Then is that what love is? Does love then just say, okay, then you can come in, it doesn't matter? No. Jesus says something to him that's going to drive him away. I didn't have to, but this is what happened. Jesus says, no, you don't make it. What? Do you mean... I've done all these things in my soul and heart. I've done all these commandments and kept them all from when I was a little boy. I memorized all the verses. I won the Awana badge, you know. Jesus said, one thing you lack. go and sell everything you own and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Whoa. Jesus, this is not protocol for great Christian ministry fundraising here. I mean, you just effectively just killed any chance of your ministry getting off the ground because you could have been fully funded by this guy. You see, what Christ did is this. Why did he do this? He saw in his heart and he saw, I can't let you in. I can't be inclusive with you. I can't tolerate the one thing that is keeping you from following me. And that one thing is that you don't possess your money possesses you. You're a slave to your money. And to prove to me that you're going to be my slave now, my servant, and not a servant of money, you're going to have to sell everything that you have in order to prove that. And then come follow me. Then you can do that. Because this thing stood between him and following Jesus. That's the point. I can't include you. I can't let you in because you have this idol in your heart. Wow, Jesus, you're really kind of bursting our bubble here. The Bible says that at these words, this is Mark chapter 10, verse 22, but at these words, his face fell, his countenance fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus responded and said, it doesn't matter what's in your heart, everybody gets into heaven. No, that's not what he said. He said in verse 23, looking around, he said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. You know why he said that? Not because it's a sin to be wealthy, but it's a sin for wealth to own you. That's why he said that. And that leads to that famous verse that people misquote in verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Yeah, it means an eye of a needle. That's pretty difficult for that to happen. And the reason for that is because people seldom not only see their personal need for Jesus, Jesus doesn't need to include everyone. Everyone needs to include Jesus. Jesus doesn't need to tolerate, and he can't tolerate everyone's sin, but everyone needs to have room to tolerate Jesus to come into their heart. That's what's going on here. What about Nicodemus and this ruler, this teacher of the Jews in John chapter 3? The Bible says that he came to Jesus in under the cover of darkness because he didn't want to be discovered, you know, by his fellow Pharisees, this ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus and, man, this guy's got the Bible memorized. He's teaching it to people. Come on. He's like a religious guru in his community. And Jesus, if he's the tolerant, inclusive Jesus, then he should just say, well, dude, come on in. Everything's cool. He doesn't do that, does he? He says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not welcome unless you are born again. You see where we're getting to in this thing? And we're going to continue this in the next podcast. It's going to get even more intense here as we talk about drunkards and gluttons and prostitutes and people like that here in just a few minutes in the next podcast. But watch this. Jesus Christ is a savior with conditions. He loves us unconditionally, but watch this. This may be the most revelatory thing you hear all week, but he does not accept us unconditionally. There are conditions to his acceptance of us, and that condition is that we come to him understanding that we have a need for him and that we are willing to place our faith in him alone for salvation, so that we can begin to follow him with our lives. That's the condition that Jesus has for all of these people that we've just mentioned. And we're going to pick up more on this in the next Vintage Truth podcast. You don't want to miss this. We're going to dive deep into this stuff and to find out, what is he tolerant of? What is he intolerant of? And is he an inclusive savior? Find out more on the next Vintage Truth podcast. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.